to see us for who we are, really, but we want to be the opposite of who we are, if I can say it that way. Genesis 31:42, except the God of my father, here is Jacob talking, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty, speaking to his, I said, Genesis 31:42. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. God hath seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesternight. He's speaking to his uncle, and he's not very happy with him, but he says, unless God had been with me, you would have ruined me. And Jacob is beginning to see that he wasn't so smart after all. And Jacob, at this point, is starting to see himself for who he really is, and he's going to learn to see what God wanted him to be. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, I want to get this point across, and I need your help. Lord, we're beginning something absolutely massive. This study of a man named Jacob. Lord, for 96 years of his life, he was an old man. He was a messed up, carnal, ungodly man. And then he got converted. Something happened. We're going to learn that this week. What happened? Lord, before the change can happen, we've got to look at ourselves. We've got to see ourselves. And we've got to get tired of ourselves. We need to be honest with you and with ourselves. Just how wicked our hearts are. Just how deceitful our hearts are. So would you please help every child in this room, every young adult, and every adult to take a good look in the mirror of God's Word and see the opposite of who we are. See who we're supposed to be. May we see Jesus. I pray, Lord, we would watch the transformation this week of Jacob and that, God, we would experience it ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, now Jacob, now I need you to go to, we got some scriptures to look at, not too many, but in your New Testament, go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9. I'll give 50 points to the person who stands up and is able to read it real loud. Colossians 3, 9 and 10, young man right up here in the front, if you will. Give it a second, Kevin. Let's see. Wait. Just a second. I already got it here. You're faster than me. Give me a second. I got to catch up with you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. I want you to read it real loud, and I got to write down your name. I'll give you the extra point. Hold on. Kevin. 50 points. Okay, Kevin. Read it real loud. 3, 9, and 10.
Why not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him?
All right. Don't lie to one another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the, what kind of guy? All right, how many of you have ever gone days wearing the same clothes? Come on, nod your head. Yeah, we all have. All right. After a while, you stinketh, right? They become old on you. And it really is nice to get a shower and to be able to put on a fresh clothes, some new clothes, kind of like there. Listen, God here in the Bible says there are some things that stink and that are wrong. And you've got to hate it like you would your clothes that you haven't washed in a month. You need to put off some things so that you can put on something. That's where Jacob is going to go this week. Jacob is a man who actually lived two different lives. You're going to learn first about a stubborn, hard-headed man. You're going to learn the life of Jacob. Jacob was a guy who, for most of his life, he was one way, and then overnight he changed and he became a different way. God actually changed his name. And Jacob is one of those Bible characters who's it's so night and day like when you're watching it, it's like an amazing transformation. It's like having a goldfish, and then one morning you're going in there and it's a shark. There's been a change, amen. Jacob is a perfect example of a self-centered person, just like you. He's somebody who cared for nothing except about himself. He didn't care about how anybody else felt. He only cared about whether he was happy. You ever met anybody like that? He got his fun from getting material wealth. He collected things. He reached for opportunities that would just get him ahead. He would get first in line. He'd have, if there was a new set of shoes out, he'd be wearing them. In the end, like I just read there, Jacob finally admits that if it wasn't for God, he'd be ruined. That's a good thing. That's a good place to get. And you know how he got to that place? Because he was facing God. Now, he was what we call a natural. He didn't have to act. He was so good at being a liar. He was so good at just taking advantage of everyone around him. He was a natural. You would have thought that this Jacob guy was untouchable. But I want you to say that, I want you to see that Jacob was a man who was without God. And you need to see where he was headed, because that's where we're going to go this week. Now, by way of background, let me tell you a little bit about Jacob. Go back to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. And let me introduce you to his parents. Genesis 25. In verse 19. Now, let me go back to his grandparents first. Jacob had a granddaddy. And his grandfather's a very famous man. Anybody know his name? Abraham. So we have this series of names, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, right? So Jacob's daddy was named Jacob. Jacob's daddy was named Isaac. And Abraham and Sarah, they were so happy when Isaac was born. And then Isaac, he marries Rebekah, the most beautiful girl in the world. He was the most handsome hunk in the world. They were a match made in heaven, and they had two little boys. One guy's name, the older name, is Esau. And just a few seconds later, out came Jacob. He's the younger. And these two boys have some promises that God makes to them, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And his parents were very happy about these twins. Normally, when you see twins, you see identical twins. You see two blondes, two blonde girls, or two blonde kids, boys, you know. But these two boys were as different as chalk and cheese. They were weirdly different, okay? But their parents loved them anyway. Aren't you glad your parents loved you, amen? As weird as you were. Now, look down in verse 20, chapter 25, I didn't read verse 19. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan Aram, the sister of Laban the Syrian. Verse 21, and Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. That means she couldn't have children. They tried, they wanted children, but they couldn't get them. So Isaac prayed to the Lord, and the Lord was entreated. The Lord was moved by Isaac's prayer, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. All of a sudden, she started getting big because she was going to have babies. And you know what? She didn't know she was going to have twins. As a matter of fact, it was a surprise to her when she went, oh, there's a second one. Verse 22, and just hold there for a second. I just want you to see his mother and father had been waiting 20 years to have a baby. And finally, because of prayer, God answered that prayer. And they had this, they had now babies on the way. But I want you to see, it wasn't all easy. In verse 22, and the children struggled together within her. What were they doing? They were wrestling. They were punching each other. They were flipping each other over each other. They were playing soccer and everything inside. And she was like, what is going on in here? She said, if it is such a blessing, look at what she says in verse 22. If it be so, why am I thus? Why am I going through this? And she herself went to inquire of the Lord. And I want you to see, Isaac and Rebekah had these babies, it wasn't going to be so easy. Rebekah's having a problem here. Jacob and Esau are going to be a little rough coming to the birth. Look at verse 24. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over as a hairy garment. And they called his name Hairy. That's what Esau means, a red, hairy guy. She said, that's him. And then out comes another baby, verse 26. And after that came his brother out and his hand. I mean, they're brand new. And out comes Jacob's hand and he grabs a hold. Watch what it says. And he took hold on Esau's heel. And Rebecca looked and went, Jacob. Because Jacob means heel grabber. It means the guy who says, no, you're not getting ahead of me. That's Jacob. And Isaac was 60 years old, 80 years old, when she bare them. Now, I want you to see, we see his parents' birth, but I want you to see his purpose. Go back to verse 22. This is absolutely amazing. The children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. She said, Lord, what's going on in here? I thought this was a blessing. You answered our prayer. We've been praying. We wanted children. Now we've got something going on in here. It feels like a war going on. What's going on? And she inquired of the Lord and listened to the Lord's response. Verse 23. And the Lord said to her, two children? Is that what it says? No. Two nations are in thy womb. And two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. You know, no, go back here. There was a great purpose to Jacob being born. He wasn't an accident. He wasn't just a kid. There was a reason why Jacob was born. And there's a reason why you're born. Why you're here at this time in your life. God tells Rebekah that two nations are in her womb. Every one of us are created with a unique purpose. And every child needs to grow up preparing for God's will, preparing for that future that God designed you for. When Kensington designed this little pointer, now it's got a little laser on it. You see the dot? You didn't know it had the dot, did you? But you know, they designed it, all these things. You know, when they designed it to work just like I'm using it to make these things go like this and to go like that. And you, when you were created, you were designed for a specific purpose. I don't use this to eat my porridge with. No. I don't pick the wax out of my ear with it. No. It's designed for a specific purpose. And you were designed for a very specific purpose. Maybe your friends don't know what that purpose is. Maybe you don't know what that purpose is. Jacob did not know what his purpose was. But he had a great purpose because God designed him. Your parents didn't design you. If your parents did design you, they would have designed you differently, believe me. By the way, anyway, we'll go on. There's a purpose. Let me give you an illustration. How many ever heard of, you probably haven't, but a missionary named Adoniram Judson. Adoniram Judson. He's my favorite missionary of all time. He went to Burma. He was going to China, and he ended up going to Burma, which is now called Myanmar. And when he was 3 years old, Adoniram Judson was told by his father that he would be great someday. And so from the age of a teenager, he tried to be great, and he was pretty good at it. He followed his heart. He left his home, kind of like the prodigal son in Luke 15, and he did some great things for a while, but nothing ever came together. And then one evening, God humbled him in a hotel where his best friend from college died screaming in the room next to him, crying out, God, oh God, oh God, help, where are you? And he sat in the room next to him as the doctor tried to comfort him. And he sat there and he wondered, all his life, all that he had grown up, he had never looked to God, never needed God. But that night, he heard his best friend die crying out for God. And he started to become a little bit afraid. He said, what if I died? And it was that night that he turned to the Bible and he got saved. And Adoniram Judson found out that God had created him to become one of the greatest missionaries of modern time. He is my hero. If there's anybody I want to be like, it's like being like a guy named Adoniram Judson. But Adoniram Judson started off just like Jacob did, trying to be great and failing. And then when he got saved and he yielded to God's hand, he became what God designed him to be. And he's great to this day. I'll tell you about Jacob for a minute. Let me just give you his character. What was he like? Well, he was a hustler. You know what a hustler is, right? A hustler is somebody who's a schemer. He's always scheming about how to get ahead of everyone else. It's kind of like I went over to one of the girls. She just sat down with a big pile of chips there. And I said, oh, look over there. She was looking over there, and I grabbed some of her chips. I thought it was a pretty good idea. You're just like my dad. I was scheming. Jacob was a schemer. He always looked for an opportunity to take advantage of someone else. That was his character. He was a supplanter. A supplanter sort of swaps things. It's kind of like you sit down and you've got broccoli and cauliflower and peas and beans. And the guy over there in front of you, oh man, they got steak, mashed potatoes, and hot bread. And you're like, I think I hear your mother calling. And you swap the plates. A supplanter changes the situation so that you end up better than everybody else. That was Jacob. He was a supplanter. He becomes known as a liar and a deceiver. He was a hustler. But even worse than that, this was a man that if you met Jacob, you would find a man who had really, basically, no interest in God. Oh, yeah, he would pray. Oh, yes, he would go along with his father Isaac to the fields. And sometimes he would say, oh, yes, amen, 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 amen. But you never find Jacob praying. Not until some weird things start happening in his life. And even then, oh, it is so funny. He tries to make a deal with God. He's unusual. He thinks he can actually say, you know, God, you do this for me and I'll do this for you. And he's not a spiritual guy at all. He's basically uninterested in God. Jacob was only interested in one thing, and that was his own success. And he was like that. Do you know when Jacob finally gets converted, when he gets saved, he was older than your grandfather when he gets saved. He was 96 years, the same stinking old man Jacob, 96 years. So he was. So that leaves us with some problems with Jacob. You know the first problem, if you're a liar, you know what happens when you lie a lot? You get in trouble a lot. You don't think you'll get in trouble, but a liar always gets caught. The longer you lie, the bigger you get caught. He's going to reap what he has sown. We're going to learn this week, Jacob going off his own way, doing his own thing. Believe me, he will reap what he sows. Anybody know where that is written in the Bible, by the way? It's actually one of our memory verses, I think, in there. Who knows it? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. What does it say? You couldn't hear her, but she was spot on. Excellent. Galatians 6:7, be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You plant corn, what are you going to reap? Asparagus, right? Don't even know what asparagus is. If you plant corn, you're going to reap corn. If you plant strawberries, you're going to get blueberries, right? No, you're going to get blueberries. If you plant disobedience, rebellion, and lies, you're going to get serious troubles. Jacob is going to get in trouble. And you know, it's kind of funny. When you read the Bible, you can predict what's going to happen to people. Have you ever watched the TV? When I was a kid, we watched some programs you have never seen. One of them is called Leave It to Beaver. If you ever watched it, you would laugh from minute one because they were so corny. But when I was about your age, whatever that is, but I know it was at your height, I would sit there and I'd watch Theodore Cleaver, but they called him Beaver. Theodore would always get in trouble. And you'd be watching it, and some friend would come over and say, hey, you want to go out to the garage? That's how they say it, garage in America. You want to go out to the garage? Yeah. And so they go out there and they see the tools. And one of them says, neato, look at this drill. And he puts it up to the wall of the garage. And he says, watch this. And he drills a hole in the wall of the garage. And Theodore's going, and I'm going, no, I can't watch. Because I know his dad's going to kill him. You can predict that, can't you? And you know, when you're reading about people in the Bible, you can go, oh, I know where Jacob's going. You know what's funny? I'm old enough to be able to say, I know where you're going. I know what's going to happen in your life if you don't get it fixed. I can see where you're headed. I'm no fool. You watch Jacob and you'll see it predictably. You'll see his life fall apart when it looked like everything was fine, when it looked like he was nothing but guaranteed success. You'll see his life fall apart and you'll go, I knew it. Because it's guaranteed. You reap what you sow, don't you, Sarah? Amen. Amen. That's one of the problems with Jacob. Secondly, you'll find Jacob always in trouble, but he won't admit it. He'll find it kind of like you and I. We get in trouble, but we go, I'm not really in trouble. And we go on, and we don't ever deal with where we're at and let God change us there. We always have to go so far into trouble before we all of a sudden say, okay, God, I'm really in a mess. Well, that was Jacob. You find him always in trouble. And Jacob was headed for ruin. He was headed for disaster. Now, I want to show you something. I need you to take your Bible and look at Galatians 6, verse 15. A unique phrase. It's kind of a cross-reference, but it uses a phrase that I like. Galatians 6, 5. What was the first thing we read there in Colossians 3, verse 9? It says that we are to put off what? All right, it's kind of like having an old coat, and it smells. Your great-grandfather used to wear it, you know? And you put off that old coat, and you put on a new jacket, and it's like, this is me. All right, well, there is an old man and a new man, and I need to put off the old man so I can wear the new man. That's what Colossians was saying. Now, I need you to go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 15. I want to show you that this new person you're supposed to be, that you were designed to be, is what God looks for in your life. He could care less how successful you are with the guys. He could care less how smart you are at school. There is nothing that impresses God. I don't care if I've been to church every day of my life since I was 3 weeks old. Doesn't impress God. I have prayed every day of my life. I have given all of my money to Mother Teresa. I have done all of these things. God is not impressed by anything but the new you. I'll show you this. Look at Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything. I'll explain that in a second. Nor uncircumcision, but a new what? If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. He's this new person. All right, so circumcision is talking about being a Jew. Being a Jew doesn't impress God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not being a Jew doesn't impress God. Are you with me? What impresses God? A new creature. Do you understand? So, do you know what? This week, you came here today, favor, as the old man favor. And you know what God wants? He wants to make you a new man. If you're not saved, it's called getting born again. If you are saved, it's called revival. It's called getting right with God. It's called putting off some old sins that you're starting to wear again. Amen. You've picked up some bad habits maybe since last time you were at youth camp. You say some things to your friends that your parents don't know that you're saying. You're out with some friends doing some things your parents don't know what you're doing. And you've picked up. You may have gotten saved last year at youth camp, but you're doing things that only the unsaved do. You've put on some old man. Do you understand what I'm saying? And you need to put it off. Because what you do doesn't impress God. Who you are impresses God. You be the new creature. If this thing could talk, let's use my camera. This is a cool camera. Come on, say it with me, man. A cool camera. Because it's mine. It was designed to do something really cool. Take great pictures, especially of me. Okay, thank you. All right. It is designed to work really cool, and it does what it does, and it does do it well. Hey, man, that's a song. Anyway, but if it didn't work, what would I do with it? Well, maybe I'll try to get. I would. Well, I don't know how much you think it costs. I'd get it fixed, wouldn't I? If it didn't work, would I just carry it around? I like my camera. You know, good looking camera, isn't it? Huh? Great looking. Doesn't work, but it's great looking. You understand what I'm saying? There are a bunch of you in here. You look good. You look like a camera, but you don't work. Amen? I'm not interested in you looking good. Oh, man, it feels good. Well, look, it swings good. No, does it work good? Amen? Amen. If it doesn't work, you fix it. Guess where you are this week? You're at the mechanic. We fix things here. Amen? Amen. Is that simple? It took 96 years for Jacob to get fixed. Are you going to wait that long? I got enough gray hairs. You don't need any before you get right. Amen? The goal of God is a new you, is a new man. I already said he was known as Jacob for 96 years, but for, I haven't done the math, 147 minus 96 is what? 41? 51? 51 years? Huh? 51 years. For the next 51 years, he gets changed and he is known as Israel. Jacob means what? Somebody tell me, what does Jacob mean? Liar, hustler, schemer, supplanter. But Israel, that's a cool name. That means prince with God. That's a top dude. Amen? And he became, and God wanted, it wasn't his success, it was this new man that God wanted Jacob to be. And there were all of these changes that God was going to work on Jacob with. And how is he going to do it? How does God change a person? Let's see, all right, come up here, Kevin. I'll show you how God changes a stubborn rebel. Are you ready? Are you ready? Does he go like this? Shazam. No. Do you know what God does in order to break a rebel? Fight me. Come on, wrestle me. Yeah. Amen. Man, wait for him to fight. Do you realize that in order to break and to humble and to change Jacob, he had to wrestle Jacob? And this week, God's going to wrestle you. And you got to be willing to wrestle back. You got to be willing to look him face in the eye, face to face in the Bible, and say, God, I want you to change me. I don't want to let this week go by without you changing me. Don't you be a wimp. Don't you just, I'll just get through this week. If I could just get through this week. You need to wrestle with who you are and what God wants you to be.
Amen.
Thank you.
Good.
In order for God to change Jacob, he's got to wrestle with him. And then he's got to break him. Horses are very strong animals. How many of you ride a horse? I know Laura, you're just a professional horse rider, right? She loves riding horses. Who else likes to ride horses? All right. Horses are really big animals. Can you imagine taking a newborn baby and putting a baby on a horse? That's very dangerous, isn't it? Because the horse is very strong, but a dumb animal, amen? And my point is this. If the horse has been broken and taught to obey and to be under the control of the owner, you can trust a baby on the horse. Do you understand what I'm saying? And before God can trust you with delicate things like the will of God, before he can trust you with success, real success, he's going to have to break your bolting and your anger and your flying off the handle and your bad attitudes and your bad language and the bad habits. He's going to have to break you to where you say, I got to let these go so that God can trust me with some really special things. Then after that, you know what God does? He starts to pull you close to him. You say, God, this is really rough. God, I can't handle anymore. God, this is too much. And then you find out, I've never felt so at peace in my life. I've never felt so loved in my life when I've finally been defeated. Because then the Lord brings me up and he lets me win. Now, you're going to learn that this week. You're going to learn by Brother Dan how to fight God and win. And it's brilliant. All so that he can bless Jacob. Now, let me just finish up. How do we change? Go to Ephesians 4 and we'll finish up this thought. And then we will get on to the rest of the evening. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 20 is a whole lot of scripture. But I just want to read down to verse 32 and we'll be finished. Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ. In your New Testament, Ephesians chapter 4. In verse 20. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in who? Where do you find the truth? The way, the truth, and the life. Where do you find it? In Jesus. That ye, here's our words, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, there he is, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lying lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, I know these are all kinds of big words, but please read with me. Look at verse 24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away, what's the first thing we should put away? Are you watching me? We're almost through. What's the first thing, according to that verse, that we're supposed to put away? Lying. I wonder, when God wrote that verse, I wonder if he was thinking of Jacob. Wherefore, first thing to put away is lying. How many of you don't lie? How many of you don't lie? Oh, I was hoping one of you would raise your hand, so I'd go, liar. Oh, yeah. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. What's the next thing we're supposed to get rid of? Verse 26, be ye angry and sin not. Put away your anger. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Wow. Let him that, what's the next thing I need to get rid of? Stealing. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. No filthy words, no hurtful language, no angry words. Don't talk like everybody else on the planet, man. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and put on these things. Verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You need to put off the old man. You say, I don't have any problems. Oh, yeah, you do. And we're going to find him this week. I'll find him at 8:30 in the morning where I'm coming up waking you up. Get away! You'll be the old man. Put away the bad attitudes, the worldly desires, all the past. Man, I mean, there's stuff in your past your mother doesn't even know about. You need to put it under the blood in all the things you do by nature so that you can put on the new man. And the new man's a spiritual man. There is a different way of thinking. I'm asking God, I'm praying that God would teach us how to think differently. A spiritual mindset, personal righteousness, true holiness, and honesty. Very different. This is all very different than Jacob. This is how Israel was for the next 51 years of his life. I hope it's like you are going to be for the rest of your life. Let's bow in prayer right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, every one of us, just like Jacob, we're born with a design, with a purpose. We're not an accident. We're not just here taking up space. We have a purpose. Maybe we don't know what that purpose is. And maybe the world and our friends and the things that we're doing, maybe it's pretty well ruining our purpose. And what a shame. Lord, I pray that we would want that purpose. God, it's going to take some wrestling. We're not going to easily find ourselves just changing. It's going to happen in a fight. It's going to happen in a wrestling match where we find ourselves different than who we want to be. And we face a mirror and see that we need to be the opposite of what we are. We need to be like Jesus. And Jacob, in his time, in his tent, that one night where he wrestles with you, Father, he got changed. And it wasn't because he figured it all out. It's just because he had nowhere else to go. Lord, this week, I pray, God, we will learn how to wrestle with you and allow you to change us. What a great thought. What a great truth. Lord, I pray we get tired of just being a showpiece, just a camera that doesn't work. I pray that we get fixed. Would you please bless these young people? Oh, may we have the time of our lives this week. And I pray for everyone. Lord, in this room, there may be half a dozen, there may be a dozen young people who are not born again, who have never asked you to save them. Oh, they've prayed prayers maybe, but they've never been saved. They've never lived a different life. It's always been the same. I pray they get born again this week. I pray most of all, God, for the young people in this room is that they know that they're gone back. They've slipped way back. They've taken on a lot of the old man. I pray they put it off. I pray this week they just get rid of everything that would come between you and their design, their purpose. Lord, they just find such joy, such peace, such power in your will. Lord, I love you. I think we all love you, but we want change now. I pray that you do it this week in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.